verse 21. Acts 2, verse 21. Then David gladly received his word, was baptized. The same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. The Lord added David, such as should be said. We don't desire a selfish exaltation, we desire a I felt though, just before we leave this meeting today, it would be a very good thing for us, in addition to what has been said. One of the features of our blessed Lord was his steadfastness. Psalm 16 demonstrates. It would be a very good thing for us, before we leave the meeting today, the Lord was to lay on our heart the desire to persevere. That's the word that's used here. They persevere in the apostles' teaching and fellowship. We are living, dear brethren, in a day of drift. We bemoan the weakness. I hear my brethren lamenting in the prayer meeting about the weakness that attends our cause. The weakness is not to be deplored unless it's the product of our disobedience to the word of God. Weakness is not sin if it casts us upon the mighty arm of God. And here on this day of Pentecost, we may be reminded our blessed Lord in abiding manhood, being exalted to the right hand of God. The divine person, one brother reminded us today, the Holy Spirit, came down to earth from that man in heaven, that he might engage those amongst whom he had taken up his residence here upon earth, that he might engage them with that blessed man in heaven, that there might be produced and continued here that which in our blessed Lord has been so pleasurable ever to God, that it might be produced and continued in there. You and I, dear brethren, far removed from the infancy of this blessed testimony of God, bearing these two blessed hallmarks, there's a man in heaven and a divine person here, the Holy Spirit on earth. You so far removed from that infancy of testimony, you've got the blessed privilege of laying hold of the same blessed power that moved, motivated, energized, and used the men to the glory of God and to the honor of the precious Christ of God. So here, thanks very much, they persevered. And what did the persevered in? They persevered, first of all, really, in the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching, of course, has been largely augmented since Acts 2 was historically experienced. We've got the work of the epistles since then. We've got the epistles of Paul. We've got the two epistles of Peter. We've got the epistle of James. We've got the epistle of Jude. We've got the three epistles of John. But the 22 chapters of the book of Revelation, the apostles' teaching has been largely augmented. One of the great effects of the Spirit's ministry in engaging the saints of God with that blessed man in heaven, as our brother Mr. Stirrup reminded us, as we see him as having gone up and being exalted there, one of the blessed features of the Spirit's ministry is this, that he enables us, he empowers us to persevere, break away from the awful downs knowledge and fire, the appreciation of the Christ of God in response to that blessed love that took him into death for us, won us, delivered us not only from the judgment that our sins deserve, but from the world that crucified him and enabled us to live for him. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. Have you got the warrant, the divine authoritative warrant of the apostles' teaching for what you identified with today? They persevered steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, and it produced something. It formed something here. Well, Brother Ernest reminded us this afternoon, the fruit of the downcoming of the Spirit of God, there was something formed here that was absolutely new and different to everything that had previously existed. There's a fellowship being formed here by the application of the apostles' teaching. Are you moving in this common participation with the prophet and the apostles' teaching? No time to dwell on it, no time to expand. I leave it with you, dear brother. But the apostles' teaching, which has formed this blessed fellowship, has formed something that powerfully expresses itself. And the unique way in which the fellowship expresses itself is in the breaking of bread. In the breaking of bread, dear brethren, we come face to face, time and again, the basic fact, the basic foundation, so to speak, of everything has been established here for God and for the blessing of the souls of men. Because in the breaking of bread, I borrow one expression from the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do announce the Lord till he come. The death of our blessed Lord, if you and I get into the truth of it, if you and I get into the constraints of the love that took him down into death, there'll be a moral line drawn between our souls and this world that crucified him. If we move in the appreciation of the apostles' teaching, we seek to be together in the apostles' fellowship, and we desire to give an answer in the breaking of bread to the love of Christ that led him into death to bring it all about. We will stand apart from the world and its ways. Separation from evil is not a mystical thing at all. It's not a theoretical thing. It is a practical thing. And as was suggested in our Bible reading this afternoon, you and I are true to our baptism that has committed us in figure to identification with the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll sing to it that in our way, in our pursuits, in our pleasures, and in our appearances, there'll be nothing that's pleasurable to him, or all the suffering of Calvary for us to the glory of God. In the breaking of bread and prayer, there's nothing self-elevating about prayer. Prayer is an expression, if it's not hypocrisy, if it's not mere parrot-like imitation, prayer is an expression of dependence upon God. Prayer is the confession of confidence in God. Somebody said to me years ago, in the big market you cast upon time, he says, well, I can tell you this, my friend. He says, I believe that prayer changes things. Whether I believe it or he didn't, it does. Prayer changes things. But prayer brings us down with a sober assessment of our own inadequacy and in a sober, blessed appreciation of the sufficiency of God. And it harvests, brings within our reach all those blessed divine heavenly resources and supplies that enable us to keep going in the fellowship that's formed by the apostles' doctrine in the enjoyment of the love of Christ that took him into death with the character of tragedy. Dear brethren, let's go on. Let's go on together. There's not much time left to us to go on together, but let's be glad that we'll emulate the example of these very early believers and continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and prayer.